on the top of the page, I always put the subject matter. So this subject matter is Aliyah L'Regel B'Zman HaZeh. So as you noticed, hopefully, that Maseches Chagiga is very much about the mitzvos associated with Aliyah L'Regel. And specifically the name of the Maseches Chagiga, but the opening Mishnah deals with the korban that you bring, not the korban Chagiga, but the korban Olas Re'iyah. Just as an aside, before we get started, by a show of hands, how many people have heard of the korban Chagiga? Right? And so now, that's mostly everybody, and I'll bet you the people who just didn't raise their hand, they also have heard of the korban Chagiga. So how many people think that the korban Chagiga is an egg? Very good. I don't know. For the longest time, I thought it was an egg because it's an egg on the Seder plate. That's the korban Chagiga. You have the Zeroa, which is the korban Pesach, and you have the egg, which is the korban Chagiga. Right? So a korban Chagiga and an egg have nothing to do with each other. Now, the fun fact that I was going for is, ironically, the korban Chagiga that everyone has heard of is not actually a korban Chagiga. It's just a regular korban shlamim. As you'll see through your travels through Maseches Chagiga, that's what's referred to in the Gemara as Chagigas Yudal. Chagigas Yudalit is a special carbon you bring on Erev Pesach, but it does not exempt you from your obligation to bring a carbon Chagiga on Pesach. There's a secondary chiyuv. The Chagigas Yudalit that you bring is just a carbon that it makes the Seder meal a little more filling in order that the carbon Pesach can be eaten al hasova, that you can be full when you eat the carbon Pesach, but not necessarily one of the main mitzvos of the day. That's why, if you notice, this year, there would not have been a Korban Chagigas Yudal, right? What was Pesach this year? What day of the week was Pesach? Right? So it was Motzai Shabbos was Pesach. Right? So then you got into that whole machlokes in the Haggadahs. When you're saying the bracha of Asher Geolanu, do you say v'nochal sham min hazvachim and apsachim and apsachim? You know what I'm talking about over there? Did anybody notice that in the Haggadah where it says you should switch it around if it's the type of Pesach that comes out on Motzai Shabbos? So that's because normally we say v'nochal sham min hazvachim min apsachim, because there we're going to eat the korban chagiga and then we're going to eat the korban Pesach. So korban chagiga is a zevach. A zevach means the korban that you shechted, right? And the psachim is korban Pesach. So that's how it normally goes. However, during the year where Pesach falls out on Matzai Shabbos, so you're not going to eat the Zvachim and the Psachim. You're going to eat the Psachim, and then later in the Yontif, you're going to eat the Zvachim. What Zvachim are you going to eat? So you're going to eat the real Korban Chagiga the next day. Right? As well as, we'll see in a second, perhaps other Korbanos as well. So it's just interesting to note that the Korban Chagiga that we talk about in general is not the Korban Chagiga that's going on in this Masechta, although this Masechta will address briefly the concept of Chagigas Yudal, the Korban Chagiga we bring early in the Erev Pesach before the Yontif starts. However, here we're talking specifically about the Olas Re'iyah. So the Mishnah starts off, HaKol Chayavin B'Re'iyah, Chutz Micheresh Shoteh V'Katan. So this is a common thing that happens in Mishnayos, where instead of getting into the halachas of how you do it, right, we get into the exceptions to who is not chayiv in it. Everyone is chayiv except for, and then we have a lengthy list of a lot of people who are putter, right? So we knocked off way more than 50% of the population right away. We say everyone is chayiv in the mitzvah of re'iyah, except for cheresh shoteh v'katan. So not everybody's a cheresh and a shoteh, but plenty of ketanim in the world. And then we say tumtum androgynous, also not so common. V'nashim v'avadim she'enim shakrar. So we knocked out nashim and ketanim. So really, when it says everybody is chayiv, it's not everybody. It's a less than a significant percentage of the population, less than 50%. So just keep that in mind that we say everybody is chayiv, and we'll say the Gemara. That's why the Gemara is going to start off by saying hakol lasuye mai. When it says everyone is chayiv, and then we knock off more than 50% of the population, why is that? I mean, why do you start off with hakol? So that's how the Gemara is going to deal with it right away, and that's where the Gemara is going to come up with a very interesting discussion about perhaps a few possibilities in terms of tashlum and in terms of chatziyev and chatzi ben chorin, and that's all coming up soon. But for now, let's just get into the discussion of what, in fact, they are chayiv. And when we say that they are chayiv in re'iyah, so if you look at the first Rashi, he says, b're'iyah, b'mitzvahs re'iyas kol zechurcha. Right? So probably everyone knows this pasuk from the Musaf Shmona Esrei on Yantif. Right? So they say, shalosh pa'amim v'ashana, yeira'eh kol zechurcha, s'pnei Hashem, v'makom asher yibchar. Right, so that's we say that you're supposed to go up and see the Pnei Hashem, Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face, and the Lo Yero Panai Reikom, Ish Kimat Nas Yado, Kibirkas Hashem Hashem Nasal Lach. You're not supposed to see Hashem's face. You're not supposed to see Hashem's face when you're with empty handed. Rather, you're supposed to do it according to what you can afford, based on the blessing that Hashem has afforded you. Right, so that's the mitzvah of Aliyah, and then we say you're not allowed to do it without showing up with the korban, and that's referring to the korban olas re'iyah. Now, in terms of getting a little bit of an introduction to this, take a look on the handout and on the makoros sheet, source number 4. That's the Rambam in the beginning of Ilchos Chagiga. We're not going to read the entire thing right now, but let's take a look at the beginning. And this is paraphrasing, if you want to follow along in the Gemara, it's a very short piece in the Gemara, the paraphrasing the Braisa that's quoted on Davav Amid Beis. This is based on the Braisa and Davav Amid Beis, but always, if you're ever looking to understand the Mishnah a little bit better and look as a nice introduction to any Masechta, always go to the Rambam at the beginning of those halachos. It's an incredibly clarifying experience just to look through the way the Rambam describes the basic halachos and gives you like that introduction to those mitzvos. You come into the Gemara from a much stronger position than if you go in there cold. It's sort of like if you learn Mishnayos Kahati, so if you read those Kahati introductions to the Prakim, it's always extremely helpful. I know it is for me. So it's extremely helpful to read those introductions. So the Kahati is really following in the footsteps of the style of the Rambam. But still, I find that the Rambam is often imitated but never duplicated in terms of his ability to clarify matters. So the Rambam says, Shalosh mitzvos asei mitztavu Yisrael b'chol regel mishalosh regal. Every single one of the shalosh regalim were commanded in 3 mitzvos. Ve'eloheina re'iyah. Number 1 is re'iyah. Shenemar yera'eh kol zuchurcha. Right, so that's the mitzvah saseh, is to go to the, whatever re'iyah is actually, but let's just say it's to go to the makom hamikdash. V'chagiga, the number 2 mitzvah is the korban chagiga, shenemar tachog la'ashem elokecha. Right, so when you see the word tachog, that's not just talking about celebrating, that's talking about the korban chagiga. Somebody here told me they were learning sukkah, right? So in sukkah, right, so what do we learn? When we say Chag Hasukos Taselacha Shivas Yamim, right? So we have the word Chag Hasukos Taselacha Shivas Yamim. So we learn a special halacha from the word Chag, right? What's the word Chag referring to? Do you remember? I don't mean to put you on the spot if you don't, but right. So we say Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim Al HaChagiga Kach Shechal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah. So the Gemara learns out from there that there is a din of the sukkah having kedusha, and you're not allowed to take down the sukkah on Yantiv. It's huktzah l'mitzvaso, and it's chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. But specifically, they say the word chag. Chag doesn't necessarily just mean party, have festivities. It means the korban chagiga. So we associate the word chag, generally speaking, with the korban chagiga, and so too, that's the source over here where it says tachog l'Hashem Elokech. And number 3 is the mitzvah of simcha. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagech. Right, that one we're all familiar with. And now the Rambam is going to get into a little bit of a discussion of how one fulfills the mitzvah of re'iyah. Ha-re'iyah amura b'torah hi, shenire pana b'azara b'yom tov arishon shel chag. A person should show his face in the azara. You guys know what the azara is? Right, so a lot of times people are more familiar with the Mishkan than they are with the Beis HaMikdash, just by virtue of the fact that people do Shnai Mikra, and we learn Chumash in general, so we know the Mishkan had a place called the Chatzer, right? And then the Mishkan had the Ohel Moed, which was the Kodesh, and then the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in the Beis HaMikdash itself was a little bit different, but the place that would have been called the Chatzer of the Mishkan is referred to the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the actual Mikdash itself has the Heichal, and the first Beis HaMikdash they called it the Heichal, and then the Dvir was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Second Beis HaMikdash, they usually just refer to it as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but there's an entrance way to the Heichal called the Ulam, right? So that's basically the parts that you need to know, and obviously the Azara is divided up into a few different parts. Right? You have the Ezras Nashim, and then you have the Ezras Yisrael, and then you have the Ezras Kohanim. Right, I don't know if I could be missing things. Sorry about that, but basically the Azara is the entirety of the Chatzer of the Beis Hamikdash. So the mitzvah is to show your face in the Azara when you make it up there for Aliyah LeRegel. The Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag, and specifically on the first day of Yontif, the Yavi Imo Korban Ola Bein Mina Of Bein Mina Behema. And you're supposed to bring a carbon ola. So carbon ola is consumed completely. You don't eat from that carbon. And the Rambam says it can be from an oaf or from a behema. And that's based on the idea that it says, Kibirkas Hashem Hashanasan Lachim. You can afford to bring a behema, bring a behema. You can afford to bring an oaf, bring an oaf. And then later we'll see in the Mishnayos and the Gemara that depending on how wealthy you are and how much food you need, that's how many carbonos you should bring. From the shlamim, which you do eat, so if you need more food, if you have a big family, you want to feed everybody, so then you're going to bring more shlamim. If you have a small family, but you have a lot of money, you want to bring more olos, you want to bring more karbanos to Hashem. Either way, it's based on what you can afford. And umisha bala azara v'yom arishon v'lo hevi ola. So if you show up to the azara on the first day of Yontif, and you didn't bring your carbon ola, lo dayo shelo asa mitzvah saseh, it's not enough, it's bad enough that you didn't do the mitzvah saseh, meaning you're not mekayim the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel, ela over alo saseh, you're also in violation of the lo saseh, shenemar lo yira panai reikam, right? You should not see my face empty-handed, right? What's the rule when you go away? You guys were I don't know how much he's... This year, you probably didn't get to go away for Shabbos very much. But it's a klal gadol. You go away for Shabbos, what do? You have to bring a gift, right? It's necessary, right? What's the Baal Bayis going to say when you bring the gift? Yeah. Oh, you didn't have to do that. That's a lie. You had to. It's not because the Baal Bayis needs the gift. It's because you need to bring it, right? You need to show that you understand and look. I don't know what the reaction of every single Baal Bayis is going to be. Some of them are going to do like this whole routine, like, oh, what are you doing? Take it back. You got to bring it. It's necessary. Lo yirapanai reikam. You don't show up, kal v'chomer. You don't show up to a Basav Adam's house without a gift. Kal v'chomer. You don't show up to the Beis HaMikdash without bringing your korban oles re'iyah. So you have to keep that in mind. Right, so the Rambam says it's so bad. So normally, if you show up for Shabbos and you didn't bring a gift, Pashtus is they're not going to throw you out of the house, and they're not going to say this is mevatel the entire idea of coming for Shabbos, and you're not yotze anything. You have to come back later and bring another gift. Right, so probably that's not going to happen. But the Rambam says that will happen in the Beis HaMikdash. That if you show up empty-handed, not only did you not get the mitzvah saseh of Aliyah L'Regel, but you also violated a lo saseh of lo yira panei reikam. Then the Rambam makes life difficult for us. Ve'eino lokal lav zeh sharei lo asa maisa. Right? You don't get malchus for not bringing a gift because it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. Right? What's the lav she'ein bo maisa? What? Yeah, right. So, okay, let's. Maybe we'll try to solve that problem at a later date. Maybe not. If you're interested, there's. If you can look in the Grach Halashas on Dav Vav Amid Beis, deals with this problem in a very, very nice way. But maybe we'll come back to it at a later date. But that this is something to that's worthy of discussion. Okay. Let's leave it for now in the Rambam. And so the Rambam gives us our little introduction into the mitzvos that you have to do. You have to do the Aliyah L'Regel, which includes the Olas Re'iyah. You have to do Karban Chagiga. And you also have to have Simcha. Right? So we'll leave off Simcha for now also, but just to give you a heads up, what he's going to say, that you're supposed to bring Karban Shlamim in addition to the Chagiga, and you're supposed to eat it for the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. And then we'll come back to the end of the Rambam also, where there's a little discussion back and forth in the Rambam, right? That the Noshim Chayavas for Mitzvah Zu, are women obligated in the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif or not? That's going to be discussed in the Gemara itself, and we'll deal with it in the Rambam and the Ravid when it comes up in the Gemara. Okay, so this is a little bit of a heads up in terms of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and in terms of what's required under those circumstances. So, for starters, before we even get involved in trying to define the nature of what the Gemara is discussing, I wanted to come at it from probably what you would consider to be the wrong angle, but for our purposes, I think if we're going to try to solve this problem, it'll make going back and doing the Rashi and the Tosfos a little more meaningful if we start with this question. We know, unfortunately, we're in the middle of, we just began the 3 weeks, and we're discussing in Yanim of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so the question becomes, is there a mitzvah of doing Aliyah L'Regel nowadays, that there is no Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam specifically said that the mitzvah of Re'iyah is that you should show your face, right? You should, right? So, where is the Lashon again? Now, currently, there is no Azara. So, is there a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel to go to the Makom where the Azara once was, or no? You say, if there's an Azara, there's a mitzvah to go to the Azara. If there's no Azara, what mitzvah? Right? Similarly, there's a mitzvah to bring the carbon, but if you're not going to be bringing the carbon, then what are you doing? Right? So this is the question that I want to start with. And hopefully in trying to answer this question, we will get a good handle on the definition of what mitzvahs we're dealing with over here as well. So for starters, it's good to point out, if you look in source number 7, just a show of hands, it's fine if you didn't, but who learned Maseches Tainis, or at least started Maseches Tainis? Right? Okay, so we have a few people here who started Maseches Tainis. So what is the opening discussion in Maseches Tainis regarding? Or what is basically a lot of the first couple of Pruk in Maseches Tainis talk about? What? Well, not just, right, Gishamim in general. Like a lot of rain subjects, right? You get like a few blot of Agadah are just talking about rain. Lots of rain, right? So you open up Maseches Tainis, you think they're going to talk about fasting? No, they're just talking about rain for a very, very long time. Then you get to the end of the Masechta, they talk about all the fasts that you've heard of. Right, so but the Ran at the beginning of the Masechta is discussing the issue of saying the same Talamatar, and if you look in source number 7 on the bottom of the first page, this is the Ran on the Rif in Maseches Tainis. It says Va'afa Rambam Zalkas Berek Beit Milchas Tfila B'Zayim Mimar Cheshvan Sholin Es Agisham and Birkas Hashanah. So right, so what do we see over here? You start Sholin. What does Sholin mean, guys? Asking for. Right, the same Talamatar. Right, so we start saying the same Talamatar in Birkas Hashanim on the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan. Right, wow, 7th day of Mar Cheshvan, that's very early. Right? If you noticed, you guys probably realized in Eretz Yisrael, they start very, very early compared to when they start in Chutz La'aretz. Right, so why is that? So he says. Kol zman shemazkir mashiv ruach mor negeshem b'met ramur be'eretz Yisrael. That's only in Eretz Yisrael. Aval b'shinor v'suria u'mitzrayim u'makom asa smuchim le'elu v'adomim le'elu. When you get into Chutz La'aretz, whether it's the surrounding lands that go right around Eretz Yisrael, or other lands that are similar to that, sholin es hagishamim b'yom samach achar tekufas tishrei. So he says, there you wait 60 days after the tekufa, after the full equinox happens, so that you wait 60 days. Still, it doesn't add up exactly the way we do it. There's some fancy math involved in how we get to December 5th from that. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's the idea is that it's supposed to be 60 days after the tekufas tishrei. Fine. So he says, I already explained it in the Ran, has two Svarim. He has the Chidushe Ran, and then he has other Svarim too, but he has the Chidushe Ran, and then he has the Ran on the Rif. So he's quoting himself here from his other Sefer, and he says, So now he says, "V'tzarech lomer." This part I underlined for you. Dechi ifsika hilchasa kirabin Gamliel. When do we paskin like Rabin Gamliel? That just that in Chutz Loretz, you're supposed to wait until 60 days after the tkufa. Afilu la'achar churban. Also, I skipped one thing, one piece of background information. Maybe somebody could help me out. Why do we wait so much longer for Chutz Loretz? Do we not care that people in Chutz Loretz should get rain? So why do we wait so long? Yeah. Right, because they just did Aliyah L'Regel, and it's not nice for everybody to start davening that these people should get rained on their journey back. Right? So as bad as flying Spirit Airlines may be, it's a heck of a lot worse to be going by foot or by horse and buggy or whatever you were taking in the rain when the roads are mud and it's just not shaykh. So under those circumstances, we want to have rachmanis on the people who are going home from Aliyah L'Regel, so you don't start davening in Chutz La'aretz until 60 days after the tkufa. That's the shita of Rabban Gamliel. And then we say, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Kol zman shebeis hamikdash haya kayam. But what about bizman hazeh, says the Ran? Should we continue to wait for so long afterwards? Or maybe no. Everybody should do like Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael needs the rain right away. Let's start davening right away. What are we worried about at this point? Says the Ran, no. Hainu afilu la'achar churban. This is even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? L'fishayim mis'asvim b'chol ha'svivos b'regel Yerushalayim. Because they were still gathering together to go to Yerushalayim from all the surrounding areas. K'mo she'osim gam hayom. Just like in the times of the Gemara. Right? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the middle of Tkufa of the Tanoim. Right? So the first early Tanoim had the Beis HaMikdash. The later Tanoim did not have the Beis HaMikdash. But none of the Amoraim had the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara still says that even in the Gemara still seems to come away with the Psak. You wait 60 days afterwards in Chutz La'aretz. And the Ran says, so too nowadays in the 1300s. So you still, we're still going on Aliyah L'Regel. Right, so he says, "Kamo shozim gam hayom, b'nei olim alalu ra'ui shena'acher ha'sheila." And because of these people who are being Aliyah L'Regel, we should wait to ask for rain. She'ayisa ikara takana. That's what the takana was all about. Avalosagi kol kach shena'acher ha'skar. So he says, "We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait too long, but we want to wait because there's still people being Aliyah L'Regel. The reason the takana still applied in the times of the Gemara, and it still applies with Mazah, because there were people going on Aliyah L'Regel at that point. So what do you see from this Ran? He's not trying to be a historian, but he's telling you that historically there definitely was Aliyah L'Regel going on consistently from the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash through the times of the Rishonim and so on and so forth. And we'll see something else that's even more fascinating from the next generation, the Tashbates, who was really slightly after the Ran. So he has something very, very interesting to say about the Aliyah L'Regel that was going on in his time. But in order to understand why people might, well, why don't you guys tell me, why would you go on Aliyah L'Regel after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? Yeah. Show your face where?
That location.
Well, what's great about that location?
Location.
Ah, you hear what he said, guys? We're going to say the same thing? Zecher Lamikdash. So you guys are saying two different things, right? So, what's your name?
Yamin
is saying that there's still Kedusha in the Makam HaMikdash. And therefore, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Therefore, maybe there's still a mitzvah to go up. The Rambam was just saying the Azara because that's what makes sense in terms of the times of the Beis HaMikdash. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's still Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, there's still a mitzvah to go up and show your face in the area of the Azara. Nowadays, we don't walk on the area of the Azara. I don't know. I've never been up on the Temple Mount, But even those who are willing to go to the Har HaBayis, Bizman HaZeh, obviously you have to be Matari yourself for Tumayotze Lav Migufa, right? Everybody nowadays has a din of a Zav. So you have to, I don't know, anybody ever done it? No? Okay, well, either way, the people who do it, that's the, you know, when a woman goes to the mikvah for Hilchos Nida, she's going for a real Doraisa, so yeah, she has to do what we call a chafifa. She has to do a proper preparation, take a bath, make sure to comb out her hair, make sure that there's no chatzitzas at all. So the men who go up on the Har HaBayis, they have to do this. You're not allowed to ascend to the Har HaBayis if you have Tuma Yotzel HaMigufa. If you have the Tuma B'Zav, which we all have a Gzeira of B'Zav, B'Zman HaZev, you get to the end of the Sechta, that comes up. So you have to go to the mikvah, then you go up to the Har HaBayis. We're still not allowed to go near the Azara, because we have Tumas Meis. So even if you go, most of the tour guides who are willing to take people up there say, "There's no, we're not going to get anywhere near the Azara. Like we're going to be machmir on triple chumras. We're not going to go anywhere near the Azara. So you don't have to worry about being a Tamei Meis. But okay, well, I'm not getting involved with what the halacha is, mostly because I don't know. But you know, the bottom line is that most people don't go up there at all. But if you go up there, you certainly don't go near the Azara. But you might want to see the Azara. You might want to, you know, put eyes on it, and that might be a kiyum of aliyah. That's one approach, that there's still kedusha there in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you should go up there and try to keep a kind of mitzvah. The other possibility, yeah. What's your name?
Shmuel
says, yeah.
Zeichel
HaMikdash. Right? You want to do something to remember that there used to be such a mitzvah. So we do a lot of things, Zecher LeMikdash, right? What do we do that's a Zecher LeMikdash that anybody can think of? Arachman
and
Sphere Summer. Arachman and Sphere Summer. Try again.
Sphere Summer in general.
Yeah, okay. Sphere Summer, according to probably Rav Rishonim, right? Sphere Summer, that's Tosus's line. That's why we say that Arachman. By the way, does Tosus say that's why we say that Arachman? Tosfos says that's why we say the Hiratzah, right? I know I'm a weirdo that I care about these things, but the Ashkenazi Siddurim, the Harachaman that's in the Siddurim nowadays, I don't know why it made it into the Ashkenazi Siddurim. That's based on the text of Abu Dran, where he put in the Harachaman. If you look in the text of every Ashkenaz Siddur, it said, and every Rishon, they said, talks about it. They say you're supposed to say Hiratzah Mechonach Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avosinu Shehivanu Beis Hamikdash Me'arav Yameinu. Not such a crazy nosach. We're familiar with it, right? Okay, kashan on a maisa. But the
lulav outside, lulav the rest of the other 6 days.
Right.
The
good lulav kol shiva. Right. Lulav kol shiva. And that same mishnah says one other takana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right. What's the other one? That's not as yom aneif kulo aser. Right. So okay, that's not. We're not going to get into that one right now. But yom aneif kulo aser. That has to do with when Yashan becomes when Chodesh becomes Yashan. So the only thing I'm willing to tell you from that sugya over there is if you look in Rashi and Tosfos at the end of that little sugya, that's the source that they say that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shemayim fully built, right? So yeah.
I feel like you were here on the fighting away from some after the
how so?
Basically, to go and do Rehiyah, it's different. You're actually in the fourth.
Ah. Very interesting, right? Maybe that's going to shter your Simchas Yantif, right? You're supposed to have Simcha and feel good about it, and yet you're sitting there mourning. So it's very interesting that you say that. One of the Rishonim actually says that the reason people go on Aliyah LeRegel, even in his time, is the Kaftar Bafera, one of the Balei Tosfos. So he says the reason people go on Aliyah LeRegel is so they'll feel some of the Agmas Nefesh of the Churban. Interesting enough, I don't know. It is also, you're reminding me of the Marshal in the Yamshul Shlomo, that where he talks about the mitzvah to drink wine on Yantiv. He says, why does the Gemara Pesachim say, Bizman HaZeh, Ein Simcha El B'Yayin? So he says, because how can you have a full Simchas Yantiv if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash? So you need to get a little tipsy just to be able to tough it out. You know, so okay. But so it seems that within one school of thought, either A, like the Marshal saying along your lines, that the whole concept of the Churban ruins my Simchas Yantiv a little bit. Or on the flip side, you have like the Kaftar Bavarach, where they say that, no, it's good to feel a little Agmas Nefesh because, you know, your whole Yantiv is a little bit of a fake out. So, okay, so that's a very good point. Right? So here we have a discussion. Is there, even if you're going, maybe you're not going for the sense of a mitzvah. Maybe you're just going for a zecher ba'alma. Right? Maybe you're going to feel shaychus to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk more about the mitzvah, the concept of zecher HaMikdash later in the summer as well. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, if I'm actually going in order to be mekayim the mitzvah, so is there a mitzvah? So number one thing we have to figure out is, I just got done talking about not going on to the Harabayis or not going on to the Azar. Are you really not allowed to go? Maybe you are allowed to go. Right? So this is known as a machlokes between the Rambam and the Raifi. Right? So if you take a look in source number 8, I'm gonna speak it out, but please give yourself a chance to look inside. The Rambam here is machalik between Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael and the Kiddusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the Rambam, when it comes to Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael, holds that Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael was butler. Right? And he says that that we took over Eretz Yisrael and we got kicked out, and therefore the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael was batel, and therefore Trumas and Maisros Bizman Azeh is only made the Rabbanan, right? And that's why we have so many leniencies when it comes to separating Trumas and Maisros. You don't see anybody taking off the right percentages, because we're assuming, we're being makel in the sense that Trumas and Maisros Bizman Azeh is made the Rabbanan. There might be another reason why we're makel, even if we hold that the Kiddusha is still there, but for our purposes, we're lenient on these matters. But, says the Rambam, that's only talking about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is absolutely still there in full force. And he says, why? Because the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was not based on us, whether it was Yehoshua going and conquering the land, or whether it was Ezra leading the second Aliyah, you know, to retake parts of Eretz Yisrael. No! The second Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was based completely on Ashuras HaShechina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested His Shechina on the Makom HaMikdash, and the Shechina is never batel. So the Rambam specifically says that the Kedusha of the Mikdash is still there. If you look in the second line, that's worth seeing inside. Right? Lepisha Kedushas HaMikdash V'Yerushalayim. Kedusha, the Rambam links the two. Nipnesha HaShechina Me'HaShechina V'HaShechina Yine B'Teilim. Right, so the Shechina is never canceled, and therefore, even if you kick us out and you plow it over, you do whatever you want, does not nullify the Kedusha HaMikdash. There's still Kedusha there. So it is Shayach, according to the Rambam, to suggest that there could be a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, even Bizman HaZeh. At the very least, it can get started. The discussion can at least get started, because there is Kedusha in the Makom HaMikdash Bizman HaZeh. The Raivid holds no. The rule with the Makom HaMikdash is that the Kedusha of the Mikdash was the phrase that the Gemara uses here, Megillah, elsewhere, Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha L'Asid Lavo. It was Kedusha for its time, but not forever and ever. If anybody would come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha would be gone. Right? So the Nafkamina is being obviously, can we bring Karbanos Bizman HaZeh, assuming it would actually work? Right, so there's always a discussion every year. I'm going to try to bring the Karban Pesach this year. Right, and there's always a discussion every year. And there's a, there happens to be a great rabbi, and certain rabbi, a very big Talmud Chacham, always pushes for them to bring the Karban Pesach every year. Like, I always wonder when I hear that, I'm like, does he take himself seriously? Like, right? No. I wasn't talking about him. Whatever, I don't want to say, because. But he's certainly a great Talmud Chacham, and I don't know whether he means it seriously or he's just trying to get everybody excited about having the Karban Pesach. But it's not Shaykh, but Lamaisa, if you were able to get through, if you were able to jump through all the hoops and figure out all the possible ways, would there even be a Kiyum HaMitzvah if you did it? Right, that's the question. There's a sefer called Drishas Tzion by Rabbi Yerush Kalischer, where he works through all these issues, and he claims that in the end, after dealing with all the issues, that he got Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chasam Sofer to sign on, that they agreed with them. Others say they never really agreed with them, but either way, that it's only shayach to talk about if you hold this kedusha there in the first place. You hold like the Rambam, according to the Raivid. So why would you be bringing Karbanos in the Makom HaMikdash, right? Obviously, the biggest and easiest nafkamina for us is what we were talking about before. Can you go up to the Har HaBayis and to the Makom of the Azara anyway. If there's no Kedusha there, so maybe the Rabbi would hold that you're allowed to. It's interesting. Let's take a look in the Taj Bates where he's discussing this issue. So he says specifically that that even according to the Ravid, well, let's go in order. Well, let me just show it to you out of order, and then we'll go back and go in order. If you look at the third set of underlines at the bottom of the page there, the Ravid argues on the Rambam, the Omer Shafil, the Madam Kedusha Rishona Lo Butla, Kedusha Sabayas Butla, Vinosan Tam the Dwarf. Oh, so where's the. Whatever, I'm not doing it right. Okay, let's go back and do things the right way. Because I wasn't looking, I didn't find the line I was looking for. Okay, so starting at the beginning, so the Taj Beit says, Vitzarech Ledakdek, Ma Kedusha Nishar Al Yerushalayim, Linyin Chiyav Mitzvos, Mishar Eretz Yisrael, Shayamalim Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. The Taj Bates witnessed, Taj Bates lived in Algiers. Anybody know where that is? Very good, right? Anybody know where that is? So, what? Next to Morocco, you said? Good, right? So it was North Africa. So he lived in North Africa, but he must have been in Eretz Yisrael as well. So the Taj Bates, he was talking about the fact that people who were in Eretz Yisrael, it's not that far away from Eretz Yisrael, but so the people who were already in Eretz Yisrael would go to Yerushalayim. And he says, let's think, what's the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Ismanazeh, that we would even want to go from the rest of Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim? Why would there be a difference in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim? So he gets into this discussion. It's definitely worthwhile to read the parts that I didn't underline, but let's skip to the next set of underlines. Mikol zen nira d'yesh l'chalik bin Kedushas Ha'aretz l'kedushas mikdash, v'chein kedushas choma sa'ir, lechol kachim kalim u'maiser sheni, afilu nafu mechitzos. So he says, number one, he quoted sources over there to differentiate and distinguish between the kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael and the kedusha of Yerushalayim, right? And he says, even if the walls of Yerushalayim have fallen, right, we know the walls that are around Yerushalayim nowadays are not the real walls that existed in times of Beis HaMikdash, but the real walls of Yerushalayim are no longer standing. But still, she says the kedusha aretz butla linyan truma samaisos linyan kedusha schoma nishar abim komam kedushasa. And he says even though the walls of Yerushalayim and even though the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael for truma samaisos is no longer standing, but the kedusha of Yerushalayim with no walls is still standing, right? And then I underlined a few lines down. V'chein das a Rambam, v'chein a kasuv Omer, v'ashimosi es mikdashech. Right? The Rambam quotes this medrash, and the Taj Beitz is quoting the same medrash. It says, v'ashimosi es mikdashech. I will destroy your mikdash. Right? So anybody know the rest of the pasuk? Right. All right, then I'm not going to get on the tangent. Okay, so I'm going to destroy your mikdash. So what do we learn from the fact that it's called a mikdash? Afilu b'shas sheheim shomimim b'kedushasanheim. Even when they're destroyed, they still have their kedusha. Meaning, I destroyed. What did I destroy? Your mikdash. No, you didn't destroy the mikdash. Not a mikdash after you destroy it. So the Chazal darshan that it's still called a mikdash even in a state of destruction. So that's how the Rambam is darshaning it, and that's what he's quoting. The Taj Beitz is quoting, and then he is skipping to the next thing where he says, "V'chein period, kaz birusha bilchus beis abchir ba'arayvid is segalav amar shafilu mandam kedusha rishona lo butla kedusha zabayis butla v'nasan tam ledvar." So this is the Ravid's logic as to why there's no more kedusha in the makam hamikdash. Lefisha haya yodea Ezra shamikdash v'Yerushalayim asidin lehishtanos uliskadish kedush acher olamis. Says because Ezra somehow understood, even at the time when he was building the Beis HaMikdash, that this Beis HaMikdash was not going to last forever, and there was going to be a third Beis HaMikdash that did last forever. And therefore, he was not Mekadesh it forever, he was only Mekadesh it insofar as it would last and not be destroyed. That's the logic of the... Right, we have Gemaras that support this, that say that if the Jews would have been Zochet, they would have come up properly with full force to the second Aliyah, they would have come up to Eretz Yisrael, then the second Beis HaMikdash would have been the final Beis HaMikdash. But since the second Aliyah was so lame, and who came up? Anybody learn Kiddushin? Right? So if the last parak of Kiddushin discusses who came on the Aliyah with Ezra, and it was the who's who of the losers of Klal Yisrael. Right? It was only the people who Nebuch didn't have what to stay for in Chutz Laaretz. They're the ones who came on Aliyah, and they're the ones who actually built up the Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, it's that. So Ezra knew it wasn't going to last forever. So says the Tashmis. That's the reason for the machlokes to the Rambam and the Ravid. So he says basically, if you hold like the Rambam, it makes sense that everybody's going up to the Makom HaMikdash, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash there. But if you hold like the Ravid, it doesn't make any sense. Now listen to this. This part is worth the price of admission alone. The Yesh Smach V'Raya SheKedushas HaMikdash V'Ha'ir Yikayemes. So I'll bring you an interesting Raya that there still is Kedusha in Yerushalayim and in the Mikdash. Shadayin Eim Olam L'Regel MiMitzrayim M'Shar HaRatzos. Because people are still coming. So it's a little bit of what we call circular reasoning. And I'm sure the Taj was aware of this, but he says the ultimate raya that there's still Kedusha is that it's still a magnet, right? Kedusha attracts Jewish people. We are like, you know, the Kedusha is the magnet, and our neshamas are like the metal that's attracted to the magnet. So the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is drawing us in, even though you would think maybe there is no Kedusha. Obviously, the fact that everybody's still schlepping over there is a raya that there is, yeah.
Or we create the Kedusha on the top of her. It's a Siba.
He's definitely not learning that way. But you could be right, but that's definitely not the way the Tashbitz is learning. So he says, okay, he quotes the Medrash Kinos, Medrash Yerashirim, quoting Eila Ezkara. Let me try to skip a little bit because we're out of time. So skip to the bottom line there. So he says, and not only that, but Amru, and it said, Ki adayin nishar me'anisim shayiv Yerushalayim shalo omar adam l'chaveiro tsar li amakom. Right? What was nase number 10? That the Jewish people never complained that they didn't have space in Yerushalayim. Now, still have 1 minute left, so I will tell you that's why is that? You see that the nisim are in ascending order. Nase number 10 is the biggest nase. Why is nase number 10 the biggest nase? We already had a very similar nase earlier in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos where it said, Omdim tzvufim u'mishtachavim meruvachim. Right, but it didn't say no one complained. It says here, it specifically said, all those Jews in one place and nobody complained? That's the biggest nase there is. So can you imagine how much space they must have had that it would seem foolish to complain? So that's a real nace. So anyway, Lamaisa, so he says that it's reported that when people go on a Lila Regal, they still experience this nace. So Kiba Beis HaKnesset Shib Yerushalayim Eim Tzrichim L'Anshei HaMakom Kol HaShana U'Mismalis Peh Al Peh Be'es Hiskabi Tshom B'Chag HaShavuos HaChog Gim Yosem Gimel Me'as Ish. There was a little shul in Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden, 300 people piled in on Shavuos, and they're smushed together, and still, Yoshim Revachim, they sit and they have plenty of space. Ki adayin hi b'kedushasav is as simen geula shlishis. It says, you see, there's still kedusha in Yerushalayim, and this is a simen that the geula is coming, because you see, the nisim in Yerushalayim are still happening. All right, so we have a lot to deal with going forward, and maybe we'll work it out tomorrow during the last half hour of Seder.